Rebecca Stern is the founder of Pearl Mediation. Rebecca is highly trained in divorce and family mediation, with a specialty in helping parents of children with special learning, behavior, and mental health needs. Rebecca is also trained as a parent advocate, which helps families survive and thrive from a divorce. Rebecca, welcome.
Hi there, Alyssa. It's great to be chatting with you.
Love having you. And again, thanks for joining us. You know, we're in the midst of the holidays, and we know that the holidays can feel extremely overwhelming. Now, on top of going through a divorce and taking care of a child with special needs, that can escalate. So how does a parent start over when they feel they have so many fires burning at once?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the holidays can be a stressful time, even if you're not in the midst of a divorce. So add that on top, and anxieties are certainly going to be running high. My first recommendation to clients is to create a thoughtful parenting plan when you're negotiating with your former spouse. You want to set up your custody arrangement, your parenting time agreement, and you should be flexible and creative when you're thinking about how you want to lay out your parenting schedule. Some people might tell you, you know, this is how my friend does it, or a lawyer might suggest to you, you know, this is how it's usually done, trading things off with odd and even years, or something like one parent having Christmas Eve, another having Christmas Day, things like that. And it's good, I think, to remember that there is no right way to do it. The right way is really to think about what's going to make the most sense for you and for your children. Maybe, for example, a certain holiday is extremely important to you, and your former spouse doesn't necessarily hold the same sentimentality about that day. Maybe they care in that way about something different. So, you know, if their extended family is doing something every year that's a big event, maybe your kids would feel upset if they were missing that. You don't want to think about it like it's my time and his or her time. You want to think about what's really going to work best for your kids and for you. I know, for example, one couple I can think of, the dad every year has the kids on Thanksgiving and the mom gets Christmas every year. And that's just what works best for them. So since you get to make the rules, so long as you're thinking about what's going to make your kids happy and keep you sane, it doesn't really matter how anyone else is doing it, but it's important to put a lot of thought into it and to plan ahead. That would definitely be my first tip to parents entering the process.
Now, given your experience with mediation, does it help when parents each come with a list of maybe what holidays are a priority for them?
Definitely, because there are always going to be things that you already agree on, and then we can just focus on any areas where there might be questions or conflict and come up with a solution for those.
Now, for a child with special needs who may have a hard time adjusting to their new reality, what tips do you have for parents to ease their son or daughter into this new routine?
Well, I think especially when you have a child who has special education needs, you really have to think about what supports they need in their daily routine and incorporate those as well into your parenting plan. So, you know, each parent who has time with a child has to be accepting of what that child needs and be able to support it. So whether that's having a very specific routine, you know, seeing a particular clinician or taking medication or just even understanding what that child's triggers might be for certain things. It obviously depends upon the diagnosis and what the issue is, but whoever's with that child, even if it's another family member for a short amount of time, they really have to be on board with what those needs are. And if that parent or caregiver can't meet those needs sufficiently, then, you know, maybe you structure time so that they're spending time when they don't have to do the things that maybe they're not as proficient at doing, so that you make sure there aren't gaps in those accommodations being met.
Yeah, and that's going to go into my next question. You know, given your role as a parent advocate, what do you recommend a parent with special needs does to make sure they dot all their I's, cross all the T's when it comes time for things like transferring the kids, making sure any and all medications are given, if the child needs to be at therapy, making sure the other parent gets there in a timely fashion?
Well, again, it goes back to the agreement that you create with one another. So if a family comes into mediation and they have a child with special needs, I suggest creating a special education plan that's then going to go into their marital settlement agreement, and starting with that before we even get to the financial matters, because you really do need to come together on what you accept is going on, who you're going to turn to for advice, how that advice is going to be implemented. And once you can get to an agreement on that, the rest of it tends to fall in place much more easily. But without it, it's like you're fighting two battles at once. And it becomes even harder to make sure that those priorities for your child are being met.
You know, given your experience as both a mediator and a child advocate, what advice do you have for parents if the other side doesn't show up?
You know, recently a friend and divorce coach that I know well told me a piece of advice that she hands out that I think is pretty great, especially if you happen to be in a high conflict situation. And it might not sound very nice, but it actually is. She said, think about it as if your former spouse is totally irrelevant. And what I like about that is it's not in an obnoxious way. It's in a, you are a parent, you have a life, you are this child's family, so are they. But you don't constantly want to be comparing or relying upon what they might be doing, because you can't control what they're going to do. You can only control what you do, how you handle things, how you talk to your kids, and how you show up for them. So if the other parent is irrelevant, you're going to bring everything to the table that you've got to make sure that your kids are okay. And then if the other parent does fail to do something, sure, that can be irritating, but your child isn't going to miss out on something because you're assuming that you're kind of on 24/7 as their parent, because you always are. And if they do things to add to that in some positive way, then great.
You know, given your wealth of experience in this arena, if a child starts asking a lot of questions, where mommy is or where daddy is, any magic words you can say to them to try to, like, put the fire out and make them feel a little bit better and not rejected?
You know, it certainly depends upon the age of the child, but I always default to being authentic. Because if you are going to kind of sugarcoat everything and act like it's fine, your kids are going to pick up on that right away anyway, because kids are so observant and perceptive, and they really feel all of your emotions, even when you try to hide it. So I'm not saying you should, you know, have a meltdown in the middle of the living room if something's upsetting, but if you can find a way to talk to your kids in an age-appropriate way, but that's honest, that it is an emotionally charged situation, but we're going to be open with each other and get through it together, I think that's really the best way to handle this conversation.
And it sounds like when you do that, you continue to build on your credibility with your children, which is so important for surviving and thriving.
Absolutely. And you always want to set a good example for your kids. And I think that can really turn into the best example, because you're saying, look, this is hard and we can do hard things, especially if we're in it together.
I love that. Last question, Rebecca, because I know we're running out of time. You know, what else can parents do to make the holidays feel festive for a child with special needs when, you know, they're watching everything change very quickly?
You know, it's really great to be able to come up with some new traditions. And when a marriage ends, it's hard not to focus on how things used to be. But if we can do that and instead focus on how things get to be, we can come up with things that really send us on a positive path with our kids. And you can shake things up. So if you had traditions in the past, you might then want to change who's hosting or where you celebrate or what time of day, or invite friends or volunteer somewhere, even take a trip. When I first celebrated a big holiday on my own with my kids, I knew attempting to recreate what we used to do would fall flat. So I tried to figure out, well, how can I build a new tradition? And took a look at what was so special to me about the traditions that we used to have. And when you look at, is it a connection to your family? Is it something particular that you used to do? And you start from there, but then get creative about it. If you really look at the essence of why that tradition was special, and then you just change the details, then we're really able to see the power we have to create new things that are beautiful. So I would say start a holiday parenting plan and write it from a place of imagining how things get to be.
Rebecca, thanks so much and happy holidays. Here are some interesting numbers. There is one divorce approximately every 36 seconds. That's nearly 2,400 divorces per day, 16,800 divorces per week, and 8,000 divorces a year. Among the top five reasons people file for divorce include communication breakdown, infidelity, betrayal, financial problems, psychological, emotional, and physical abuse, and loss of interest. If you're in the beginning stages or in the middle of a divorce, know you're not alone. Others have been there before you, others are there with you, and others will be there after you. That is why the Divorce Hour will be back again next week with a brand new episode you won't want to miss. I'm Melissa Panitz, your host. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time.
What if you could have your own personal crisis management team guide you through every step of your divorce? A top strategist at your side, making sure you ask all the right questions. Rebecca Stern, founder of Pearl Mediation, is driven to change how we divorce. Her full-service approach guides clients to lasting agreements while providing the tools you need to live a life not by default, but by design. Equal parts of grace and grit, Rebecca has empowered countless clients from across the country to take control of their own outcomes. She selectively curated a team of experts, including certified divorce financial analysts, accountants, evaluators, real estate professionals, even a world-renowned pet custody expert who'll have your back. Book your free consultation today at pearlmediation.com or by calling 917-848-4224. That's 917-848-4224. pearlmediation.com.